Well, my buddy, the Vietnam vet, he did just what we were saying earlier. He would have a gym membership and he would go just shower there and live in his car. And I don't know, man. But then the pandemic hit and they closed all that shit.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't go and take a shower even. Yeah.
No. And at first he was like telling me that he was taking showers in the sprinklers and shit on like out in industrial areas. I let him come shower at my at my place here and there, and, you know, do him a solid. But fortunately, they finally took over the state a couple of motels that they made into veteran living places. Okay. So for $600 a month, he has a place now. So I'm happy to report.
Yeah,
that he's living at least in what you would consider to be a one motel room deal.
Dude, how the fuck? And again, we're gonna get serious. I guess we're barely gonna talk music tonight. But how the fuck do you let our own people live like that?
Right.
You know that especially. Well, let me take this back. I don't want to say especially because it's not like anybody's problems are worse than anybody else's or anybody has earned better treatment than anybody else. But how do you not take care of the fucking vets?
Right.
You know, and I know I speak on that as a vet, so maybe it's a little closer to the heart than other people.
Sure.
But holy mother of fuck. You know, I mean, I served during wartime. I took the plane. I went to the desert. It's fucking hot and it sucks. And it was not fun hearing fucking bullets popping off of an APC that you're riding through the desert in, hoping that this fucking thing doesn't stall and then you get overrun and killed. You know, it's not fun. It's the military in general is fun. I enjoyed my military time a ton, but I didn't enjoy that. I certainly didn't enjoy during the Gulf when we were laying in trying to get 10 minutes of fucking sleep and every 2 minutes there was a Scud missile going off and a Patriot missile shooting it down and sirens going off telling us that we had to wear this fucking mop gear, the mask and the gloves and the, you know, the suit and all that shit in 110 degree heat in the middle of the day or night. It was fucked. It was really, really fucked. And to let those people that did that service, and again, not talk about me because I'm not homeless, but to let those people not give them somewhere to stay. Their only value, they'll give them somewhere to stay when they're willing to take a bullet. But once they've done their service, then they're not worth a fucking a cot in a room.
With that said, too, you know, him being a Vietnam vet, let's not forget these guys were drafted. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not a choice you really had. You know what I mean?
That was Vietnam vets. The Vietnam vets should be taken care of.
Definitely
taken care. Vietnam. If you survived Vietnam, and this is just my thought. If you survived Vietnam, that should have been coming home. Should have been like winning the lottery. Here's your new car. Here's your new place to live, and you don't have to pay for shit. You don't pay for drinks at the bar anymore. You fucking, you gave more than you needed to give.
Right.
And that drives me nuts that that Vietnam vets are fucking homeless and, you know, people make fun of them because they're wearing a fucking ragged old VFW hat or whatever. It's like, you know what? Fuck you. What did you do?
The one thing about my friend though, he is pretty fucking crazy. I actually had to block him recently because I just couldn't take his, the world's coming to an end. He gets really biblical.
Sure.
And sends me these fucking, he just starts going on and on and with biblical, you know, quotes of the end times.
Yeah.
And it ruins my fucking day every day. And I had to finally put it into it, but he would tell me some Vietnam stuff and some of it sounded kind of like he was full of shit. He said he was a medic, but then he said he was sent in at the end of Vietnam to infiltrate some of these camps of soldiers that decided to stay in Vietnam past their welcome.
All right, and, dear Hunter, I hear you.
Yeah. So he starts telling me this story about how he was sent in to infiltrate these little units of Vietnam American soldiers that stayed there and were starting their own little villages. that were like basically starting families and like, you know, not leaving, not, they were going AWOL and staying there, according to him, and that he was brought in and he had to either medically induce, you know, a coma to take the leader out or kill him. And I go, Daniel, this sounds a lot like the plot to Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean? As I'm hearing it, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? That has never happened. They've never sent a medic in to go kill the troop leader. I mean, it was Apocalypse Now. He was telling me the fucking plot to Apocalypse Now.
Well, let me just tell you, in my life, I worked in intelligence. I was an intel analyst, 96 Bravo. That was my MOS for people that want to look it up to validate if I really was or not. I was an intel analyst. That was my job. I could tell you for a fact, the military did not then, did not when I served, does not now send in medics to be fucking Rambo. It does not happen. It's never going to happen. It has not happened. There may have been some Rambo medics. But I can tell you for a fact, they never said, you know who we got to get to send in on this? The medic. That guy's got to get. And you know what? While we're sending him in, you know who else is a badass? The fucking cook.
That's
get
right.
Get that guy off of potatoes and send him in immediately. Let him keep his knife. And
the
so
medic comes in with a little white flag. Hey, guys. Yeah. Anybody need a Band-Aid?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, stop with that nonsense. That is in the military or in the veteran community, it is one of the most hated things ever.
Stolen valor.
Stolen valor. Oh my God. It absolutely drives all of us crazy because you don't, first of all, if you served in any capacity, the last thing in the world you need to do is pump it up to make it better. You served, you did more than 99% of the
people. Yeah, leave it there.
Yeah, you don't have to be fucking Rambo. You don't
people
have
embellish.
To be. Yeah, you don't have to be the guy that survived Black Hawk Down. You don't have to be that guy. You can just be the guy that went in, was willing to being willing to die for a bunch of fucking dickheads that you don't know and generally don't like. That's fucking impressive.
You know what my favorite movie, fictional movie about the Vietnam War, and tell me if you remember this one. Uncommon Valor.
Oh yeah, sure.
That movie, I thought that movie was so awesome when I was a kid. These guys that served, and apparently some of the dudes, the POWs that got left behind. Gene Hackman thinks he knows where his son is.
Sure.
And he's showing them the aerial footage, and these guys have like kind of moved on. It's the 80s. My favorite dude was the one that worked at the dirt bike place. He was like the California guy. That M60. And I watched that movie so many times as a kid.
Sure.
Uncommon Valor. Hell yeah. Let me tell you
which Vietnam movie I think is the best of all time. Only because I've become the guy born on the 4th of July.
Oh.
I've become Lieutenant Dan or whatever the guy's name is in the wheelchair.
Tom Cruise's character?
Yeah. I've become him because I served not because I had to, because I wanted to. I absolutely did not have to. I wanted to serve my country. You know, my dad had served, and I thought that it was an honor to be able to do it. And I did it. And plus, I mean, I had other reasons, too. Me and my dad were fighting. I wanted to get the fuck away from him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way to do it. So I don't want to say, I don't want it to be like, here I am, flag shirt Chris. You know,
I told him, don't give me any incentives. I'll do it for free.
Well, truthfully, I actually turned down some stuff. I actually did not take the GI Bill. I didn't want it. I just was like, give me the extra $100 a month. What a dummy. I will say that was pretty fucking dumb.
You could have got a degree with the GI Bill.
Yeah.
That was worth a good probably 50 grand or more.
Yeah. But instead, I was like, oh, no, I can't give up $100 a month out of my paycheck. No, no. I need that extra hundy for 1 year. For 1 year. You pay in $1,200, you get 50 grand.
Your brain wasn't fully formed yet.
Well, I was 17. I will say, a year sounded like eternity when you were 17. You know, where now it's like you look up and 3 years have gone by. But
Susan's boy Aiden just joined the National Guard. And thank God they rescinded the vaccine.
Sure.
shit. Cause that kid is impressive, man. He goes to University of Las Vegas.
Okay.
And they were making all those kids take it. And this kid, Aiden, is so smart.
Right.
He actually wrote a whole like formal letter to the school and somehow got himself excused from getting the shit.
Nice.
Which is pretty impressive for, like that.
But the military, they're good on compromise. That's one thing the military is known for.
Well, I think that they knew, like, because this just all went down in the last like 2 months.
Sure.
And, he went in and there was talk that a bill was going to get passed through the Senate that was going to rescind the military.
Yeah.
Vax. But it wasn't known for sure. But he went in and they pretty much just go, you vax. He was like, maybe, they're like, whatever. I think they knew that it was going to be pulled soon.
So they just let him walk through.
Yeah. Cause he was trying, I think he had a fake one or something, but I'm surprised he even tried to show them that. But they let him in with no problems there. Now they are probably going to stick him with 100 other fucking vaccines. Yeah.
Especially if he goes overseas. Oh boy.
But at least it's not the mRNA one for now. Yeah, but thing is, it's like, I think he's signing on. It's the National Guard.
Okay.
But I think it's like 6 years he's going to be.
Yeah, but it's not every day for 6 years.
No.
It's like 2 years of what? Like 2 years of service and 4 years of once a monthing.
There's little clauses. There's little, fine print there too. If we actually did go into wartime, you get called up.
Yeah, you get called up first. Yeah. You know? There was a lot of people that got zapped on that one on Afghanistan.
Sure.
I remember when Afghanistan first kicked off and like half of the troops were fucking National Guard and, reservists.
They're like, whoa. I was just trying to get my college paid for. What's this all about?
Yeah, but the reservists got called first. Yeah. It was crazy how that worked out. But
my dad was lucky. He went in at the tail end of NAM. The army reserve. So he was in there 1971. The war had ended. He was of the age and he did utilize the GI Bill to pay for his college and everything. And it was interesting, back then they would actually allow people that were in prison to get out of prison if they wanted to serve.
Yeah, it was an either or. It was you can do your time or you can do our time.
That's right. So
that was the
he
pitch.
Would show me his picture of his platoon and he would show me the guys. He was like, okay, that guy was in prison. That guy was most of the black guys and there were out of prison and doing it.
Right.
But I thought it was fascinating, but he never got, saw any war. I think they were like guarding Fort Knox or some shit.
Sweet.
But even in training, people get killed, you get run over by a tank or something. Grenade lands in your tent.
It's dangerous. I ain't gonna.
Yeah,
dude. Even just regular old basic training. The one thing where they fucking, where they throw you in the water. They like I forget what we did there, but they put like a bag over your head or some shit and fucking lightly tie your hands up and throw you in the fucking pool. And you got to get out or you die. And obviously if they see that you're not coming up, they'll go get you. But That's risky. That shit's risky. And the gas chamber. I know it's CS gas and it's not, it's if you don't stay in it too long, it's not lethal. But I can tell you for a fact, when they bring you into the gas chamber and they line you all up, you're all in your gas masks, and they make you take off the gas mask and everybody tries to hold their breath. And then they say, okay, troops, repeat after me. And then they go through a long dissertation so that you have to take a breath in order. And as soon as you take that breath, it's like your lungs just fucking close. And you're like, you're just dying to get out of there. You'll do anything to get out. And I just remember I was running to get to the door. And I got to the door and like the drill sergeant tried to stop me and I knocked his ass right over. I was like, fuck you, dude. I hit him like a linebacker hitting a punter. I just boom, hit his ass and went right through him, man. I was like, fuck you.
The only thing I've had anywhere close to that was have you ever seen the gas mask with the bong attached to it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I decided that, it was on sale at some store. This was in the 90s or something. And I went and bought it. I'm like, this is going to be awesome.
And it
was this literal, full blown gas mask with a little plastic bong where the mouth pieces.
Right.
So you get home and you stick that on. All right. I fired it up, and oh my god, it just, the smoke hits your eyes, and it's like a death trap on your head. And I was coughing. It was kind of like your CS. What does that stand
CS
for?
CS gas. I don't really remember, but it's
cocksucker gas.
Yeah, cocksucking gas, because that's what I thought about it. I was like, you fucking cocksuckers making me breathe that shit in. And then the worst part, then they embarrass you coming out. So everybody comes out, and you have to shake it off. It's like a reddish.
Shake it off.
Yeah, it's like this reddish film. So you're coming out of the gas chamber, and they make you wave your arms. You're like, I'm a bird and I'm trying to fly. And you're shaking off the CS gas and you can't breathe. And it was a pain in the dick. I mean, it really sucked. But
anyway, I could see people having a panic attack during there and you know, possibly having a heart attack.
Some freaked out, man. It was weird, but we can get more into this later. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Eric. A, we have not taken a break at all, if you can believe that. We've gone an hour and 15 minutes without a break. And plus, our guest is waiting in the wings, the great Cody Souza of the band Hatriot, one of my favorite bands. Get ready to hit the road. They are getting ready to hit the road with David Ellefson and crew to do the Kings of Thrash, which is reliving the original Megadeth album, Killing Is My Business, as well as the So Far, So Good, So What. And those will be cool. But as soon as we get back, we will we'll talk to Cody about the reason you want to get there early instead of being a lame piece of shit just showing up late. You need to get there to see these guys, because they absolutely, five records in, and they absolutely murder as far as thrash goes. So you definitely going to want to check that out. They are hateful, that is for sure. But we will check with them in a minute. But first, a word from a sponsor, and then we'll play a little bit of Hatriot. We will be back with Cody Souza of Hatriot right after this. It's Chris Aiken Presents.